The Giants blow a 19-3 lead and lose to the Eagles. And with that, you can put a fork in the season. To talk about it, we bring in Ryan Dunleavy from NJ.com, The Ledger. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
Hey, Lori. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. So help me understand how the Giants, you know, 236 yards passing in the first half. Saquon Barkley touches the ball 15 times in the first half. Second half, this was a tale of two halves. 61 yards passing, and Saquon touches the ball 5 times. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, look, they got lost, basically. They lost themselves in the playbook. I mean, I don't have a problem with them not attacking the Eagles secondary. I know they had five guys.
They had five guys named Mo.
Yes, exactly. I have a line about the loss, and that's pretty much what they had in the secondary. But I don't mind it, because if the Giants are going to run the ball, their offensive line is a much better run-blocking offensive line than their pass-blocking offensive line. So to have Eli Manning sit back 40 times and throw the ball against that secondary, I didn't like that idea going into it. I thought, run the ball. That's what you do. Focus on what you do, not what the Eagles can't do. So I love the first half game plan of pound the ball with Saquon Barkley, because that's what the Giants have done the last couple weeks since the bye. That's where they've made it their bread and butter. So I love the first half. And then the second half, they disappear, and it's all encapsulated by that second series of the second half. That five-play series that leads to a punt with Saquon Barkley standing on the sideline and Wayne Goldman in the game, a real head-scratcher.
What was the reaction in the press box at that moment when Barkley is not in the game? It's only the second series coming out of halftime, and there's Goldman in there. Were people wondering, is he hurt?
Yeah, exactly, because you got to remember, the first series of the second half, Beckham didn't play.
Right.
Beckham has this recurring problem with IVs and dehydration. So Beckham's not out there for the first series of the second half, the Giants punt, and then he comes back out, and Barkley's not out there for the second half, for the second series of the second half. So the whole first two series that end up with punts, and really is what got them off track in this game, what set up the bad second half, is they didn't have their top two players on the field together for either of the first two series. No surprise, you're talking 8 plays total and 2 punts.
Yeah, and to have Saquon Barkley, after running for 9 times for 94 yards in the first half, to only get 4 carries in the second half, and I understand it was for 7 yards, but with somebody like Barkley, who's so electric and can break one at any moment, he has to get more carries than 4 in the second half. And to your point on the passing game, I love that they were leading with the running game to set up the pass. It made the play-action pass so much more effective, and Eli Manning does that well. The offense does that. You know, their pass blocking is going to be better when it's based off of play-action. So what did you also buy of Pat Shurmur's explanation when asked about it in his post-game presser?
Yeah, I didn't like many of Pat Shurmur's explanations today. I hated the two-point conversion. If you want to get into that. But as for the Barkley stuff, look, I get it that you want to get Wayne Goldman in there. And I get that you don't want to overuse Saquon Barkley. I think he's 3rd in the NFL among running backs in percentage of offensive snaps played. I get it. But he's a 21-year-old rookie who has fresh legs, who you use the number 2 draft pick on. The reason you use him is to play him 85-90% of the time. And I don't understand the idea of pre-scripted. Like, that felt pre-scripted.
Yep.
And I don't understand. Like, if you're going to tell me, oh, Saquon Barkley is not playing the second series of the second half, and you predetermined that doesn't make any sense, especially not when you can feel the momentum changing in the course of a game. When Beckham missed the first series,
exactly.
It's now 19-4. It's gone from 19-3 to 19-14. If you want to find a time for Wayne Goldman, that's fine. That wasn't the time, and it doesn't need to be 5 straight plays. Mix Goldman in on a second down here or there. You don't need to do 5 straight plays with Saquon Barkley on the sideline as momentum slips away.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from The Ledger about the Giants and their loss today. And all right, so I'm with you on Pat Shurmur's responses in the postgame press conference, and it did feel like he had made a decision. It was pre-scripted. He was going to have Goldman in for the second series, even though you cannot pre-script, or maybe you should at this point, that Odell Beckham Jr. isn't going to be in there for the first series. So you got to be able to kind of adjust your game plan a little there. But what of Odell Beckham Jr. and some of the players' reactions after the game? Are you getting a sense that, you know, it's one thing when I read the comments, it's another when you were there hearing it live. Is Odell Beckham Jr., is this just regular garden variety frustration after a loss, or are the players starting to question the coaching staff a little bit?
I think it's somewhere in the middle and maybe more towards question the coaching staff. I don't think it's all out, you know, rebellion, Ben McAdoo, mm-hmm. doomsday style
right.
stuff that happened last year. But I also didn't feel like it was garden variety frustration. And maybe that's just because it's garden variety frustration for the seventh or eighth time this season.
Right.
And it's just mounting. And it's just, you know, the same level of frustration mounting. And now they're tired of saying the same things. But when Shepard, who's probably the most media-friendly guy, the most accessible guy on the team, says, you know, go watch the film and tell me what you saw, that's a little out of character for Sterling. For Odell to say that's not a question for me, that's a question for coach. Part of it, I think, is he just didn't want to answer it because he didn't want to get himself in trouble with the
right.
answer. But it certainly comes off as, well, you know, coach knows better. Coach calls the plays, so I don't know why I didn't get the ball. I certainly, he added, you know, I certainly wanted to attack them. So he made it clear that that was his, that was certainly his attention if he was drawing up the game plan. So I think it was somewhere in the middle, but I definitely think it was more towards, we need to figure this out. Why can't the coaches figure this out is basically what they were saying. Why does the same thing keep happening week after week?
What, you know, how would you rate Eli Manning's performance in this game?
It was, I mean, look, he was better than he's been in most of the mm-hmm. losses. I mean, the Giants played the same game throughout the first half of the season where basically they scored one touchdown in the first three quarters and then scored garbage time points. He was better than that. But look, you're a 15-year quarterback. You can't make throw that interception at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
I know Pat Shurmur tried to take the blame for Eli and say that he, you know, baited Eli into throwing that ball. Eli Manning's a 15-year veteran quarterback. He's got to know he's at the 27-yard line. They're in field goal range. They
mm-hmm.
can make it a two-score game. He can't force that ball into double coverage. He knows Malcolm Jenkins is a ball hawk. That's who broke up the two-point conversion pass. So he's got to know Jenkins is there. This isn't worth throwing that ball.
Now, with the record being what it is, they're, you know, 3-8, five games to play at this point. What is it, three back in the division? I think we can safely say that any chance of playoffs are basically done. Is it time for the Giants to look to see what they have in Kyle LaLetta, or have they just not seen enough in practice that makes him viable to put him in a game?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say this. They are three back with five to go. So and they do not have they can't win a tiebreaker against literally anybody in the division because they're 0-4.
Because you actually have to win a division game for that to happen.
Correct. So they're really four back with five to go.
Right.
So assuming they lose to the Bears next week, they'll be officially eliminated. I expect, my gut says, Eli Manning will start that game against the Bears. It would be unfair to throw anybody who hasn't taken a snap this season, rookie or not, into a game against Khalil Mack and the Bears defense. Plus, it's an Eli Manning home game. It's a chance for the savvy Giants fan, and there's lots of them, to realize this is coming to an end and maybe give Eli a proper, some proper cheers. I think you're talking LaLetta probably maybe week 14, maybe week 15, but let's call what it is, Lori. He still hasn't been active in a game. Forget being
right.
starting a game. They still haven't moved him up to the number two quarterback, which is still a head scratcher to me, that he hasn't been moved up to the number two quarterback. Alex Tanny is a guy, you know, who coaches like because he studies hard and he knows the playbook, but he's certainly not the future successor. The Giants fans want to see LaLetta. The front office wants to see LaLetta. So I think you'll see LaLetta at some point. I just don't think it'll be next week against the Bears. I think maybe week 14 against the Redskins is a little more realistic.
Yeah, for the second year in a row, if the rookie quarterback does not get into a game or get a snap, then it's just, you know, yet another wasted draft pick. I don't think they would want to make that mistake 2 years in a row. Before I let you go, real quick on the defensive side of things, Alec Ogletree, to me, I understand he's a, you know, great veteran leader, but in terms of his inability or his abilities as a coverage linebacker, is this starting to look like a trade with the Rams where that was a contract the Rams wanted to unload?
Yeah, look, he's, for what he is, he's the 10th highest paid linebacker in the NFL, and he's one-dimensional. He's a run stopper. But for the Giants, he's more valuable than that because the Giants needed leadership in the worst possible way on the defensive side of the ball after last season. So he fills that role for them more than anything when Gettleman was making that trade in the offseason. Ogletree has a reputation around the NFL mm-hmm. as a tremendous leader, and he's been every bit of that in the Giants' way. Being in that locker room every day, Ogletree has been every bit of that. On the field, you're right. You're 100% right. He's given up something like 400 passing yards in coverage, according to Pro Football Focus. So, yeah, I mean, obviously running backs have given him a hard time. Tight ends have given him a hard time. That's really on the Giants to figure out. He needs to be coming on blitzes, or he needs to not be on the field in nickel situations. They need to do more with Goodson or more with some of their outside, Lorenzo Carter. They just need to turn Landon Collins into a linebacker in this situation, because it's not getting done for Ogletree. He's a good run stopper. He can run. We saw him with a sack today around the edge. That's what he needs to be doing in passing situations, not ask the cover guys.
All right, Ryan, really appreciate the time. Thanks for staying up with us. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Sounds good, Lori. Anytime.